Sounds good. This is Jane, and I have a son that's in the 10th grade. He's 16 and has ADHD, is what brought me to the group. And our holidays were good. And to celebrate, I have continued to just keep in mind all the principles overall, so I don't anymore react with screaming or frustration or anger like I used to. And it's changed everything. So I understand things a lot better. So I have a new perspective.
Wow.
Tell me more about that. Not perfect by any means. Nothing.
Everything
you know,
makes it a lot better is good, though. I mean, that's pretty significant.
It is. Yeah. So I attribute all of that to this parent support system group. I have read and have been educated in this since he was first grade. And so I've gone to all the conferences. I bought probably every book, and I also was a teacher. I'm retired now. But so it wasn't like I didn't know things. It's just this support system just explained it. I don't know. It was more life effective things you could do on a regular basis. So it's just.
Oh, that makes me so happy. Yay.
It's a life changer, I think. Yeah.
So, thank you for sharing that. That's awesome. Thank you for that. That's awesome. Yay. Cool. Well, that's a pretty phenomenal celebration, I think.
Yeah, but, you know, like there's always the other things that still continue to happen. It's just that I have a different outlook to, you know, cope with things.
Yeah, good. Pretty cool. Mia, you want to check in?
Yeah, so, sorry, my smaller celebrations, I guess I would say. With what you said there, so I have a 10-year-old dyslexia, ADHD, actually, yeah, just turned 10, so fourth grader and a first grader. And my first grader, you're pretty sure, has ADHD. My celebration is actually my 6-year-old. He was 6 then. He just turned 7 today. Did his first full neuropsych. So he spent, it was an 8-hour day, and he able to, I know, how's this going to go? We came back early from our holiday vacation, and I was so proud of him because he marched in, and I had set up, you know, you have a little chart. Each time you earn a check on your chart, you can trade that in at the end of the day for Pokemon cards. You know, we talked about it in advance, like what he wanted to earn and all these things. And so he walked up to his assessor, and these are all PhD neuropsychologist people, right? And he's like, he says to them, so here's my behavior chart. And every time I follow instructions or complete a task, you need to put a check here. Because so he's explaining this to the team. And I was just so proud of him. He was just like, this helps me to stay focused. And I was like, you go. You are a 6-year-old little guy who knows how your brain works. I was so proud of the team. They were like, absolutely, we are happy to give you
I bet they were blown away.
Yeah, they were
that
just
is
like,
phenomenal.
This is great. So, and he made it through, and it was a long day, and he kept engaging. He took, you know, they gave him a break, but, I mean, he stuck it out. It was, I'm sure they made it fun and everything they could do, but it's just a lot. So I was really proud of him.
My gosh. That I'm blown away, seriously. I don't think my 16-year-old could have done that. I mean,
I was telling him, I'm like, he's kind of a precocious little guy. You just never quite know what he's going to say. And they're like, you're right. You never know.
What a riot.
Oh, my
gosh.
So I was happy about that. So a successful structure that was put in place in partnership with him. It wasn't fancy. It wasn't pretty. It was literally they had him make the stars and the checks, too, as a fine motor assessment. So I'm like, you know what?
Sometimes
the simple stuff works. Pokemon cards are a cheap reward for now. We're going to enjoy it while it lasts.
Yeah.
So, and then
that's,
I guess,
great on so many levels.
It is. It's one of those again. The other thing I think I had shared, Jeremy, I can't. We got orders because we're military families, so we're moving.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I went to South Carolina to explore and got some real help from the forum about resources from there and toured schools and things. And I had gone down a week early to tour schools and help my mom, who's going through cancer treatment, get ready for the holidays at her house for the first time in a decade. Mm. And I fell and broke my wrist on my way in. So, yeah. So I got to go to the ER and experience the ER where we'll be living. So that was good to do that.
Hopefully you'll have to go there very often. But
and, yeah, right. And I, for my daughter, just to be proud of her, she really stepped up. I mean, everybody stepped up with being flexible. And, oh, gosh, Mommy can't build gingerbread houses like we always do, so what can we do instead?
Oh.
And just, there was a lot of I was just, it's sort of like, I don't know, things sort of pile on to add together to the, like, the skills of being flexible and talking through and
resilient
and stuff like that.
And...
yeah, so
wow.
Like, okay, this is forcing us all to be flexible, and we are struggling to manage the tone of the home because we are stressed out right now, and I'm obviously not at the top of my game since I just got cleared to drive again, so
Was it your dominant hand or was it your other hand?
No, fortunately it's my left hand. Unfortunately, I do a lot of typing for my job, so so it's
a lot of talk to text.
Yeah, apparently I have an unusual accent according to my talk to text. I don't think I speak standard English. I really do. I don't think I live. But
oh my gosh.
I'm
wow.
I'm actually, I will say the tablets writing and converting written to text is more accurate than talk to text is now. So I've had to explore these both, which is good for my daughter, my dyslexic daughter. I will help her with that later.
Yes, everything happens for a reason, right?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yes.
Oh, that's wonderful. Wonderful. Well, and what a great, I always find that gratitude check in terms of if I'm ever injured or sick or whatever, and people have to step in and help out or provide some type of assistance, no matter how small it is, it really is always a good reminder for me how how grateful I am to, to be happy or to have people who are willing to chip in and help out. And
most of the time, the fact that I have two hands, you know, I should be really grateful that this
true.
Is
true. Yeah.
My grandfather was paralyzed on his left side for most of my life, and I never really appreciated how difficult that must have been. So,
great insight. Awesome. Well, good. Well, I mean, kind of ran the gamut there. Fabulous and challenging and back to fabulous. So I appreciate the full circle. So who's joined us from, it looks like, Washington?
It's Jennifer.
Hey, Jennifer. Sorry, I don't know. Your number came up weird this time for some reason. How are you?
I'm in a different place.
Oh,
so checking in.
Checking in, celebrating. How are your holidays? All the above.
I'm here, and that is going to be my celebration for today.
Good.
I was definitely having the feeling of, I'm in such a funk, I don't even want to get on the phone, and I thought, that is the time you need to get on the phone the most.
Exactly.
I'm going to be on the phone, and I'm going to be glad to hear other people's celebrations, and tone of the home is a good reminder for me at this exact moment. So,
how are your holidays, or should I ask?
They were fine. I mean, there were moments that were really great, and then there were moments that were less great. And I'm just kind of trying to focus on, just different things going on, not nearly as dramatic as, you know, moving and breaking things and having cancer situation. But I'm just really noticing how, like, when one part of something gets off, that it has the domino effect of knocking every other thing off. And trying not to let that, like, just recognize, like, this is a thing, it happens, you rebound from it. It doesn't mean that the end is coming. So yeah.
Good.
That's what I'm going to say.
Yeah. Sometimes it's about figuring out how to stop the domino effect or stop it in our minds
right.
when we start to get in that situation. And it's hard to do sometimes. It is, particularly when, you know, with our complex kids and all the other things that we have going on, it feels sort of like if one thing gets out of whack, then, you know, we just fall over the cliff.
Right, for sure.
Because it is kind of precarious from time to time. Yeah. So I appreciate you being willing and open to coming today, because I know that we all always feel better once we get here on the phone at the end of the call. And kind of sharing that things, you know, things don't always have to be hunky-dory.
Right.
We struggle, and that's okay. So let's go, let's see, Tone of the Home is one of my, I mean, they're all my favorites, I always say that. So, but I feel like this one is a kind of an emotional topic because it forces us to think about the future and what we kind of want our legacy to our kids to be. And so before we dive down into that, let's go back around just real quickly and take aim. And again, it doesn't have to be something that has to do with Tone of the Home. It can be something that has to do with Tone of the Home. If there's something that's just top of mind that's been bugging you that you want to take aim on, that's totally fine too. But we use the taking aim process to get focused on something or a challenge or an opportunity in our head so that as we talk about the topic for the day, more often than not, sometimes by magic, I think, things filter through that help us solve both problems. And so let's go around real quick, and if there's someone who wants to go first, just jump on in. But we're taking aim on the change that we want to see, whatever that problem might be or whatever is kind of floating around.
This is Mia. I'm taking aim on identifying how I'm feeling in the moment. I've had to
Ooh.
Recognize that when I'm in pain or when I'm tired or hungry or frustrated about what's going on with my body, it makes me
mm-hmm.
less able to manage the other challenges in my house. And so I need to be more active with scanning myself so that I can manage myself right now.
That's great. And that's hard. Isn't it funny that it's something that we forget to do?
It sounds so basic, but I was walking up the stairs yesterday. I had this moment of just weakness, and I was like, oh, what's going on? I'm like, well, wait, my arm is killing me, and I haven't eaten in 6 hours. Okay, so the fact the children are screaming upstairs is not going to help the situation, so I should have planned ahead to have a snack at least. So anyway,
yeah.
Like what I'm always telling
I love that.
Have you eaten? Are you hangry? Yeah.
Yeah. They turn it back on us sometimes, too. Good. Okay, perfect. Who wants to go next? Jennifer Jane?
I will. This is Jennifer. I had a really poignant moment over the last couple weeks. I have an adult friend who's having some really hard times, and we've been spending a lot of time with her, and she's been around her family a lot. And she has a lot of family of origin issues, and she was talking about how she recognizes sort of the stress response in one of my kids. So my youngest is adopted and very connected to us, very attached. She's been with us for 5 years. She was 2 when we adopted her. And she's very loving and sweet, but she also can kind of turn on a dime and put up walls where you can just tell she's having very complicated feelings. And this adult friend of ours said to me, I recognize myself in her, you know, the pushing away when that's the last thing you want, but that's your stress reaction. And it just, it was just a really powerful reminder of kind of what we've talked about here before of how do you want your kids to remember you and how do you want, what is their, your legacy to them? I'm going to cry. And it just made me you know, filled with compassion, both of my for my friend, obviously, but also for my daughter and for my son too, who, you know, he's very medically complex in a different way. But just really, you know, trying to remember that, you know, when all that frustration and anger is building in me and I let it out, that's not creating the memory that I want to have, that it's not helping the situation, that it's not helping them learn how to deal with their own feelings like that. And so, you know, it's allowed me to have a little bit more, to take a deep breath, to have a little bit more compassion. And so that's just, like I said, the tone of our home has been kind of rocky, but there have been moments where I've been able to kind of pull back, and so I'm just working on pulling back more and creating more of an evenness as opposed to that rockiness.
Okay. So I'm gonna just push a little bit on that if I can.
Sure.
Is it more about focusing on the times when you recognize that your daughter needs some space? Is it more about just taking a step back in general?
No. It's actually, it's kind of the opposite, which is I recognize that what she's doing is sort of pushing away.
Okay.
For the purpose of, like, sort of her story of nobody wants me, nobody loves me, that whole thing.
Okay.
Like, that's the last thing, even though that's what her external manifestation of it is. And so, like, mm-hmm. she's being mischievous, not mischievous, that's not even the word for it, but she's having an issue and pushing buttons and mm-hmm. for the purpose of sort of fulfilling her story of, I'm not lovable, I was, all that. And while my reaction is to get mad and push away and do that, she needs me to be calm, to tell her that I love mm-hmm. her and to hold her closer, literally or figuratively. And so, and then similarly, my son, he because of his, medical and developmental issues, he has an impulsivity about him that also requires not a big reaction, but a calm reaction. It's just a reminder of I'm the one that sets the tone of the home. And that's hard. It's hard to, to have all that pressure. And so, the reminder that not only is it important in this day to day, but in the scheme of things going forward, it's even more important.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does. It does. And of course, I want to jump in and say that it isn't all on your shoulders and that the weight of everything doesn't rest with you and that you're only human and that there are going to be days and hours and weeks and sometimes even months where you're just doing the best that you can and that's okay. And so I guess my want for you is to know that you hear that and to know that you take a moment to recognize your own wants and needs and make sure that you are forgiving yourself and giving yourself permission to take care of you too.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Jane, what would you like to take aim on?
I need a little bit of help with this taking aim because there's so many areas it's hard for me to ever narrow down. And then it's hard to figure out really how to follow through. And so I wrote down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 things so far.
Okay.
So maybe if I tell you what the issues are, then we could, decide that something's right or wrong about how I take aim. One is, it's all for my son, going to bed on time, changing his routine before he goes to bed so he is able to fall asleep. Work on organization strategies for the new semester, passing grades since he failed most of his classes this semester, do homework before his gaming, video gaming, help him balance his exercise life, his schoolwork, and his fun or his recreation, and the other is how I can involve him more in decision-making about what he should do. Those are
Which one feels
ideas.
The most pressing to you?
Yeah,
those are all great.
Getting to bed on time.
Okay. We're going to take aim on getting to bed on time.
Yeah, because he's so tired in the morning. For one, he can't get up. Today he was late for school, missed the whole first period. And the days that he does get up, I can see he's so tired. I don't know how he can focus in school if he's so tired. It's been going on for a really long time. So sometimes it gets better and sometimes goes up and down.
And does he stay up pretty late? Or is he able to kind of go to bed? Does he have a decent bedtime routine? I know at 16 it's hard to kind of monitor all of that. But
yeah, I don't think he does have a good one. But, he we have this where he has to stop at video games at 9:30. Well, that's fine, but then he also has a laptop where he likes to get his music, download that, and he likes to look at his phone, and he has all kinds of little video things on that. And so after we go to bed, who knows how late he's up doing some of that. And he's at the age where, you know, it's hard to say, give me this, give me that, I'm going to take this, take that. So it kind of backfires. He needs to be part of the agreeing, buying in, be motivated that this is good for me. You know, I need to do this. So on the way to school, we did discuss it, and he said, you know, yes, he does want to improve that. It's just, you know, it's hard to do it. So that could be one of the things, because I think the sleep is huge. The psychologists have said to him, you know, it's big on, and the doctor's big on mood, you know, just affects the mood as well as everything.
Yes.
So,
yeah, definitely. Sleep is one of the biggest and most important things, for sure.
And lots of teens, you know, I had an older teen that stayed up late, and I just know that they like to stay up and be night owls, and they like to sleep in the morning.
And there's a whole push to change the way that we do high school, too, and to make it start even later, because that's when kids need even more sleep. But yeah, there's so many things that are wrapped up in that sleep challenge, particularly for teenagers and with their phones and that whole kind of addiction dynamic, and particularly for our kids, right? 95% of kids and adults with ADHD have sleep challenges. So it's a critical piece of their life management and their ADHD management.
It's huge.
And it's one of the most challenging ones,
Yeah, well, my husband walks in the room, because I said, well, could you drive him to school today? I had something to do. And he said yes, but then he lost his patience with him and said, you stay up too late on your next night, and did all that. So that just snowballed into a bunch of anger. It didn't help at all. And I've gotten out of that kind of back and forth in the morning, because it doesn't work.
Right.
And I can understand why my husband was frustrated with him, because he had to get to work himself. So the sleep affects that too. And then Joshua said, oh, I'm depressed now, got my grades, and I can't do anything right, I can't get out of bed, I tried to get to bed on time, I took my melatonin, and it doesn't work. So I don't know. But there's
that's
a million
so
other things to work on. But you said the most pressing is what?
The sleep. Yeah. It sounds like the sleep is the most pressing. Yeah.
So how do you word
that?
I'll take aim on.
So you're taking aim on, I mean, it kind of depends on how you, what you see is the best way to change the behavior. So we're taking aim on either
adjusting routine prior
bedtime routine, or making sleep a priority, or, you know, maybe it's taking aim on helping him understand how important sleep is, or some manifestation in there, some piece that is going to be a change that's going to be beneficial to his sleep routine, and to you guys as well.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Helping him to understand how important sleep is.
Yeah.
But then,
or
like,
maybe it's,
you know,
the
follow through.
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't know. You know, I feel like I always say that, but then I'm not clear on how we're supposed to. I mean, in the weeks in between our calls, we're supposed to, like, figure out how to do the thing we took aim on.
Make
him.
We don't hold you accountable for it. So if it comes up and you're able to work on it, great. If it changes or something else comes up and takes priority, that's great too. Just kind of, a lot of times it does somehow work itself out in the intervening weeks. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it's something that, you know, you keep top of mind for a long time. But more often than not, we find that whatever you're focusing on or paying attention to during these calls or in the intervening time, ends up resolving itself, or you get some idea or something else comes along that helps bring it into focus and make that piece a little bit easier. So And we can do some laser coaching around it too. Sometimes it's about just kind of walking through the dynamic and figuring out if there's something that you've missed or something you can be doing differently. But I just like to have that kind of running in the back of your mind as we have the conversation. And if it shifts to something else, that's okay too.
All right.
Thanks.
Go ahead. And...
Hello,
this is Stan. I joined.
Hey, Stan. How are you?
And fine.
Hi.
And you. And
good, thanks.
Everyone. And sorry I'm late.
All right. So we're just going to have you check in real quick and celebrate.
From
and
a friend. So, yeah. Okay. Well, I've had some real outbursts of anger against my son in those last few weeks. And I think the 2 weeks off from school for the holidays and just like the constant being together and contact, I just started to get more and more irritated. And I just was on a kind of low threshold of patience with my son and had a couple of really angry outbursts, and especially around his issues of a sort of enforced helplessness, like he doesn't want to do anything for himself and wants to do everything for him, like coming down to things like toasting and buttering a slice of bread for him. And I just started thinking, well, when I was his age, I fill in the blank. Like, I shoveled snow and made money. I delivered papers and made money. I did the dishes and pots every night and alternated with my sister on wiping the tables and sweeping the floors. It's like we had all these responsibilities. And I look at my son and, you know, he's fooling around on his phone like everyone else's kid. On the phone today, he's like playing these games and watching these things. And we have him do some chores. And there's much less resistance now to his doing the chores. But I feel frustrated because we haven't been able to build that up to a bit more autonomy in either food preparation or cleaning up after himself after dinner. And we've had two of his friends over, a couple of brothers and their parents for a meal. And after the meal, each of the other two boys took their plates into the kitchen without even thinking about it. And they're guests. And Martin left his plate on the table as usual. And I feel like we're enabling this kind of behavior by not being more demanding and forceful. And then Sylvie reminds me, well, don't forget, with ADHD, he's not really 14. He's like 9 or 10 in his ability or, you know, to take on this stuff. And I'm just so honestly sick and tired of this sort of helplessness and how long it takes him to do his homework and how much convincing he needs to go up and take a shower. And he has this way of yelling if he's asked to do something he doesn't want to do or doesn't want to do at that moment. And one day I just said, I yelled that he was an unappreciative little creature.
Oh, dear.
And for his whole life, for 14 years, I've managed to not call him any names. Even when I'm like really upset or angry at him. And that time I just lost it because I had fixed something in his room in the dark on my knees with the electrical connections. And he came in when it was, as soon as it was finished and the lights were on. And he goes, oh, you knocked over my stuffed animal. So I take his stuffed animal.
It, yeah.
and like as I put it back and he's grabbing me, my son's grabbing me, and I pushed him away and I said, you ungrateful little creature. I thought, oh my God, that was so awful and so off-putting, and I just don't want to hurt his feelings with an angry outburst, but I had just had it of doing all this difficult work, like crouched down and in it. Like a very squeezed in place in the dark and fixing his stuff. And then for him to you
not
know,
appreciate
we all
it and
bent out of shape
focus
because
on something.
This stuffed animal mm-hmm. had fallen over.
Right.
Anyway, you get the picture, I think.
So I get it. I do. And I'm going to stop you right there just for the sake of time.
Sure.
But I want to make sure that I'm clear on what you want to, well, two things. Do you want to take aim then on your ability to manage yourself in response to his behaviors?
Absolutely.
Or do you want to take
Absolutely.
Aim? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, well,
cool.
His behavior, we're working on getting him to do more things. And I know I should do a bit more coaching so that he knows how to do things. And
mm-hmm.
I do include him in some things like preparing waffles, which he loves waffles, and he doesn't mind at all helping. So to engage him
mm-hmm.
where I can and sort of a skills transfer. And I keep
mm-hmm.
thinking, oh, my God, 4.5 years, he'll be going off to college. He doesn't know how to use the dishwasher, the laundry machine, how to wash a dish.
Right.
He can now load the dishwasher in addition to unloading it. And that's
yeah.
about the extent of it.
Mm-hmm. So that's okay, though, because you know
so,
what? He's
yeah,
not going to college today, and he's not going to college tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly.
You've got time.
And my ability to just step away, even if it's just
right.
a step away while I collect myself, which has
exactly.
always worked in the past.
Yeah.
And
well, and again, as I was saying earlier, you guys are all humans. You know, we're all doing the best we can, right? We're all doing the best we can in the moment and with the, you know, the abilities and skills and information that we have. And we are all just human. And I'm pretty sure that every
right.
single one of us on this call has at some point said or done something they wish they hadn't said or done.
Definitely.
Towards their children or spouse or whatever. And
mm-hmm.
so we have to forgive ourselves for that moment,
yeah,
recognize what we did, and then figure out what we can do differently going forward. So we're
yeah,
going to hang on to
you.
That. Yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go ahead and move
Excellent.
Into the tone of the home teaching for the
right.
day, and we'll come back around. If you have your workbook with you, let's see, or nearby, it's page 30, where am I? 36 is where the tone of the home wheel is. And typically what we do is I'll go through and I'll talk about the different quadrants, and then I'll have everyone kind of chime in with things that they are doing really well at and things that they wish they were doing a little bit better on. And if we have time, we will go around and do that really quickly. But so the tone of the home is basically a reflection of your home today, right? And it's going to be different no matter what day you look at it. No one's wheel is the same day to day, week to week, year to year. The center of the wheel is 0. The outside of the wheel is 10. And so on each line there, you're supposed to kind of make a little hash mark where your level of current satisfaction is with each quadrant. And so the majority of us are going to have kind of bumpy Fred Flintstone looking blocky wheels. Every now and then we may get a perfect wheel, but it's typically not consistent. So the goal is not to have a perfect wheel, right? So the goal is to be making some progress in some area, or at least getting every area to a level that we're okay with or comfortable with. Maybe not perfect, but definitely not so much towards the center of the wheel, if you will. Excuse me. So the tone of the home wheel, if you guys could all just bear with me for a second and fast forward, if you can, 10, 15, maybe even 20 years into the future, depending on how old your child is, and just envision that your child is back home for the holidays or for a vacation or something with his or her spouse or partner or significant other, and maybe they have kids of their own at this point, and you guys are all sitting around the table having a conversation about what it was like to grow up in your home. And maybe your grandkids are there and they're looking at their mom or dad and wondering what it was like to grow up with you guys. What would you like for your kids to say? What would you like for them to remember about growing up with you? I think most of us might say that we'd like our kids to know that they, you know, grew up in a place of love and acceptance and support. What are some things that come up for you guys in addition to love and support and acceptance?
I hope my kids say that I always had faith in them, that they would meet whatever challenge they had and make it through.
Yeah. What else? Anybody, you just jump in. Is there something that you want to add that's different? Or
just time spent together, having fun and quality time.
Okay, yeah.
This may sound silly, but I hope they think it was fun and we had music and I remember we played with glitter and danced and did
That's not, I don't think that's silly at all. Those are some of the best memories, right? Yeah.
I think that we had perseverance, that, you know, when we got knocked down, we kept going.
Very important. Yeah. Yeah, I think we'd all want our kids to have fond memories, right? To look back and have good things to say. And so, you know, and now is the time when we can make adjustments. If there might be some areas where we're afraid that our future kids or our future grandkids might hear some stories that that we're not that proud of, this is the time for us to make those adjustments. And I'm going to go through the quadrants kind of quickly, and then we'll go back around again because it's, my gosh, it's already almost 20 till. And we can just kind of talk about what each quadrant means. If you have questions, just jump in and ask me. But there's several different quadrants on this wheel, and they're going to mean different things to different families, and they're all okay. The important part is what your level of satisfaction is with it and if you want it to get better. So like spirituality, you know, that can be faith, it can be religion, it can be your connection to a higher power, it can be, you know, whatever you center yourself with in terms of your connection to the universe, that can be spirituality. You know, some people it is organized religion, for a lot of people it is, but for a lot of people it's not. So whatever your level of contentment is with your spirituality, that's how you mark that one. Noise level, again, is kind of variable. Our house is a busy house. You know, we have five kids, and so it's noisy. But for the most part, it's a happy noise. You know, we talk a lot. We're loud. We laugh a lot. We do yell across the house a lot just because not yelling at each other, but more like, what? What'd you say? A lot of that. And, you know, if I'm honest, there are definitely times when there's some angry yelling as well. But for the most part, the noise level is loud but acceptable. For some people, that level of noise is not okay. For some people, the noise level is loud and angry, and that's not okay. Some people's homes are too quiet, and they don't spend enough time together or talking. So if your home is too loud or too quiet and you're not okay with either extreme, then that's how you would mark that. Emotionality can mean, again, many things. A lot of times it's the expression of emotion, angry, crying, you know, mood swings types of things. You know, it's your comfort with expressing emotion as well. You know, if your home is constantly operating on an increased level of emotionality where everyone is on edge or upset or lashing out or breaking down, that's probably something that you want to change. If people are afraid to say how they feel, that may be something that you'd like to change too. But if you feel like everyone is relatively even keel or working towards even keel and able to express themselves in a way that's appropriate, yet reflects who they are, then that's how you would mark that one. Physicality is an interesting one too. It can mean you know, hugs and kisses and affection, everyone's comfort level with expressing affection. Some of our kids have sensory challenges and may not be able to express affection in a physical way, and that's okay too. I have four boys, and I did not grow up with boys. I grew up with girls, and so roughhousing and, you know, rolling around on the floor and kind of beating each other up, but not really, was not something I was used to. But my husband and my boys get down on the floor and they roughhouse, and that's part of a way for them to express affection as well. It took a while for me to become comfortable with that because I didn't understand it. But now I realize that that's exactly what it is. It's a way for them to express affection physically and connect with each other. So however your comfort level is with that, go ahead and mark that. Sense of teamwork is going to be you know, sort of everyone pitching in and helping, making sure that everyone knows we're all on the same team, which seems pretty straightforward, but it's not necessarily just in the home, it's out of the home. You know, so if you have siblings who are at school together, or, you know, maybe one is in trouble or being bullied or something like that, you know, it's that sense that we all have each other's back. We're going to support you no matter what, in the home and out of the home. Time spent, quality time, you know, doing things together, doing things at home, playing board games, whatever that is. For some people, it's just being in the house at the same time. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're all doing something together. You can just all be under the same roof, and that's enough. It can also mean time spent with your significant other, your partner. There's never enough of that, right? And then also time with yourself. You know, we're busy parents. We have a lot of demands on our time, and sometimes it's just about having an hour to sit, or even 5 minutes, just to sit and be by yourself. Is there enough of that in your life? Visual aesthetic. This is a challenging one depending on how old your kids are, I think. And for me, it kind of boils down to having a space, maybe not the whole house, but a space where you feel like, you know, you love the things around you. If clutter doesn't bother you, or if you have a lot of clutter, it's because you love everything that's there and you like that feeling of having the things around you that you've selected, furniture or pictures or whatever that bring you joy, or that are meaningful in your life. If your home is, you know, if coming home and the idea of moving through your home brings you stress because there's so much stuff, or there's not enough stuff, or the stuff that you have is dragging you down in some way, or you find it depressing, then that might be something that you want to work on. Like I said, I think it's challenging, depending on the age of your kids, to make the whole house visually and aesthetically pleasing. But, I mean, if you can find a space in there that is visually and aesthetically pleasing to you, no matter what your style or taste or level of comfort is there, then sometimes I think that's enough. But it's whatever works for you. And then shared responsibility, it sounds a lot like sense of teamwork, but to me that's more about the connection between co-parents or husband and wife, partners, you know, whatever, just making sure that everyone is kind of doing their share. And it also means that that sense of responsibility and shared responsibility may not always be equal over time. You know, for us, certainly there are some weeks and some months where one of us is doing more work than the other, but we both know that we share responsibility for the house, for the kids, for ourselves, for our relationship, and that we're all working towards the same goal together, if that makes sense. So any questions about the quadrants right now? Okay, so what you should do if you haven't already is kind of grade yourself or mark yourself on each piece of the pie, your level of satisfaction, with zero being in the middle and then the outside of the circle being a 10 for perfection. And again, we're not going for perfection. The quadrants, if you don't have the worksheet in front of you, are spirituality, noise level, emotionality, physicality, sense of teamwork, time spent, visual aesthetic, and shared responsibility. Just take a few seconds and kind of grade yourself there. And then I'd like to hear from everybody if we can. We've got 15 minutes, and I think we have time for everyone to chime in with, you know, an area where they're doing really well and an area of opportunity. And then we can hopefully give or work through some action steps or some ideas in terms of the area of opportunity while we're together. So once you're ready, just chime in with the area you think you're doing really well in and then the area of opportunity.
Okay, this is Jane, and I'll say that the area that I'm doing well in is the emotionality. Mm-hmm. And I think I started to talk about that in the beginning of the call with not having so much strong reactions when things don't go well, but being calm and seeing the bigger picture and knowing that it doesn't help to get all emotional.
Mm-hmm.
So it calms everyone else down because it used to set the tone of the home on edge, but now. So that's going well.
Mm-hmm.
And the area of opportunity, I don't know, I have like 8 for the rest, so I guess today's been pretty good.
Yeah. It's okay. I mean, if there's nothing specific that jumps out at you that you want to be different or
not or, this time.
That's great.
Yeah, that's those other areas.
That's awesome. Good. Good. Who wants to go next?
This is me. I feel like my wheel is very small with a few lumps.
Mm-hmm.
So
gotcha.
Not a great topic. But just thinking, I think we're strongest on teamwork, which this is a change for us, because I had a lot of resentment about feeling like, much like Jennifer was saying earlier, I was responsible for setting the tone of the home, oftentimes in spite of my husband, or trying to set a different tone than he was, and came to the realization that he doesn't think the same way I do, so I've gotten much more direct in saying to him, I need your help with X, Y, and Z. And it was very uncomfortable because I felt like he should notice those things. But anyway, telling him what I needed him to do, sort of managing it like a team at work. You need to handle X, Y, and Z, and I'm going to do A, B, and C. And that has helped with our teamwork. So although I still resent the fact that I keep the list of areas that need to be done, it's a lot better for us that at least there is a list and people have appointments. So as obnoxious as that sounds. The real gap for us right now is aesthetic. As I've shared, we're in the middle of preparing for a move, and I'm very bothered by visual noise. Literally every room in my house is a disaster right now as we try to go through and purge and get rid of stuff that we don't need in our next house. And it's very, very overwhelming for me, and I'm realizing, back to my monitoring myself, I don't have a peaceful spot to sit in my house where I'm not looking at a pile of projects or purging that needs to be done. And that's probably not helping me. And the fact that I can't really carry much because my arm is in a cast is, So I need to think about how I can make like a little corner or something where I'm at least facing a window. I work from home, so I never leave my house. So, I need to think about that because it's having an effect on everyone else, too.
Oh, you poor thing. That's so hard. But at least, you know, is it helpful at all to know that it's short-term?
I tell myself that, but I still have boxes from the last time I moved that I haven't unpacked, so I'm not sure I believe myself when I say that.
Ah, I gotcha.
I'm trying.
Oh, man. Yeah. And you're aware of it, and you've got people to help you, and it is. That just feels like you can never disengage your mind because there's always something to be gone through or something to be done or something to be carried out. Yeah, I get that. Okay. We'll come back to that. Who's next?
This is Jennifer.
Go ahead, Jennifer.
So
in
terms of doing okay, I think our sense of teamwork, at least between me and my husband, is good. I will say I can relate to what Mia was just saying because, and I know the thing I recognize in myself is if I start going down that path, I realize that's indicative of, like, I used to have a lot of resentment about that, and then I realized I kind of like being in charge. And I probably picked him as a mate because he's the yin to my yang, because if I was with somebody who was, you know, sort of as in charge as I am, I probably wouldn't like it. Even though at times I am resentful and I feel like I crave that, it's taken me, you know, 20 years, but I've realized there's a method to the madness. So we're a great team. He's a great partner. I think the thing, and he's much more even keeled than I am. So he's a good balance for that. So I feel good about that. The one thing though that we don't do is we don't have time together, just the two of us. So, you know, doing the things that we did, I mean, I don't even remember what we did before when we first got together. And I, you know, I think that it would be nice. I mean, there's a reason I picked him. And I'd like to remember, you know, yeah, it's great now, but I want to remember what it was like then. And so, you know, we have some plans to try to make that happen. And you know, at the moment, like, I keep thinking, oh, we should go away for the, we should fly to Phoenix. It'll be warm. We'll go to baseball. We'll do all these grandiose things. But then, you know, that has its own level of stress. And I keep thinking, you know, we could just go have lunch together. That would be a place to start. So, you know, trying to.
Baby steps.
Right, exactly. So I'm feeling, you know, rocky about that time spent together, just the two of us, not focused on kids. And then also myself, you know, just my own amount of, I realized I started a new job a year ago, and I've had the thought the last couple of months, like, why is it so much more stressful now? Why is it different? And I realize it's because I've been working a lot more. And so that's been good in a lot of ways. It's also had some consequence in other ways. So I'm just trying to think of if I had, you know, that one day every other week where I tidied up the house and did the grocery shopping and all that kind of stuff, that really makes a difference for me. And so just thinking about, again, back to that whole domino idea of what are the things that where I feel like, what are the things that make it feel like things are going better, and what are the things that make it feel like it's going worse? And I can tell just that I'm not doing all of those things that make things feel better.
Perfect. And then I think also, you know, what are the things that you can let go of, right?
Right.
Sometimes I think we have too many things that we think we have to take care of in order to get back on that even playing field or a level playing field. And sometimes there are a couple things in that list, too, that we can delegate or give to somebody else and
right.
free up some time that way as well. Yeah. Okay, cool. Thank you for sharing that. We'll come back around in terms of following up with some action steps. All right, Stan, you're up.
Okay. Well, I'm really happy with the visual aesthetic. We just replaced some really shabby living room furniture with some new, really nice stuff. So there is like, wonderful. And spirituality is really good, and we observe the Sabbath, and there's a really nice level there. And then on the worst, closest to the center areas, the noise level can be really atrocious because our son, like, suddenly bursts out yelling about things if he's not happy with something. He just, even if he's right next to us, he starts shouting at the top of his lungs, and we ask him not to or to, you know, reduce it, and he just can't seem to. And I think, okay, well, teenage boys, that's to be expected. So I accept that.
Mm-hmm.
And then physicality, he and his mom, my wife, are very affectionate and, like, cuddle and hug. And then for me, he tries to shove me around the room to see how strong he's getting. So that's like the dad's role, is to be like almost the punching bag.
Yeah.
And so it's very different between mom and dad. But so overall in the household, it's fine, but it's like extremely high with her and low and maybe to be expected with me in terms of what form it takes. And then I feel like a moderate area that could be improved with some effort, not much effort, is the time spent as a family, the time spent between my wife and me, and like the mention of board games, when we do play them, we have a wonderful time, but we just seldom do it for some reason, and we could do it more, especially in the winter. And then another area where I think that some effort could be improved, I'm sort of linking the sense of teamwork and the shared responsibility together, and they both are identical in my circle, and I'm realizing for me they're connected. And I think certainly Martin can do some more around the house and we could train him of what to do and when to do it. But the last time, Sylvie cooked up a really wonderful schedule of what needed to be done. After a couple of days, he crumpled it up. He was just so frustrated and didn't want to follow it. So we're still working on that. And I think that improvements in the next, like, 6 months or a year, as it will take time, will give me a better sense of the shared responsibility and teamwork.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Sylvie wants to say anything. Okay, she says no. She just joined, but she's kind of running behind here. But thank
you. That's totally fine. Yeah, of course. Okay. Good work, guys. Did I get everybody? I think it is. If I didn't get you, jump in. Okay, cool. So we are running right up against the top of the hour. So what I would like to do, just to make sure that we honor everyone's time, is to go back around and in your area of opportunity, what's a baby step that you can take that's realistic, that would make things better, even if it's marginally better? What does that baby step look like? And we're going to consider that probably our checkout for today. And then after everyone goes, if you want to hang on, we can do some laser coaching, or if you want to share some stuff in the forum, that would be great too. Lots of great resources in there, lots of people. They're all clients who want to provide feedback and help and ideas and things that have worked for them and you know, suggestions for places to get more information. So please feel free to take advantage of that. And then also, we're always available for sanity sessions. If you need a little extra one-on-one time, you can go to the website and just schedule a time with Elaine, Diane, or myself. And I find that January and February tend to be kind of prime crisis times for some reason. I don't know if it's like a seasonal affective thing or it's just the second semester and, you know, things are changing or kind of what's going on. But usually we have a lot of people who end up going through some big changes during these times. So don't hesitate to reach out if you need more help. But for now, let's go back around. And in your area of opportunity, what's a baby step? And Jane, I know that you said that that everything's pretty good on your wheel, but the baby step may be with respect to your son's sleep schedule or bedtime routine. So what would be something, one thing that you can do that's realistic and actionable that might make a difference?
I think I could have a time to sit down and talk with him to see what he thinks will work best for him, because I've learned that he needs to have a part of it or else it won't mean anything. So I think I'll help him follow through with what he thinks will work out best.
I like that.
Yeah.
And then do you guys have time? Will you have time together this weekend to have that conversation, you think?
We do. He hates to have conversations because he knows. He sits there and rolls around and does all kinds of antics to try. He hates that because being serious is not part of his thing. He likes to be silly and, you know. So. Yeah, we'll find time. We have 3 days. I could squeeze it in.
There you go.
A very good opportune moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, let us know how that goes.
Thank you.
Cool. Thanks.
I will.
Yeah. Jennifer, you want to go next? Okay.
Yes, my baby step, and I've already acted on it. I'm going to see if we can get a sitter this weekend and go to the movies.
Woohoo! All right. You go, girl. That's awesome.
Crazy.
Let us know what you see.
Crazy town. I want to go see La La Land.
Ooh,
I like musicals,
too.
And it looks cute.
Supposed to be awesome. Cool. Well, let us know how it goes. I hope you get to do it. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Yay.
Thank you.
All right, who's next?
This is Mia. Francisco. I think I'm going to establish my bedroom as a pile-free zone for the period of this move prep. Just to say, it's not very big, so it's not taking away much staging area, so I can just get my husband on board with this. We can have one spot in the house I can sit on my bed and not be looking at piles of things waiting to be sorted. So
two questions. Is it how much clearance is going to need to take place to make it a pile-free zone?
It's only one stack of boxes in there right now, so it should take someone with two hands about 2 minutes to carry them into the hall.
Cool.
So that should be achievable. It'll just mean I'm putting another pile in the living room. So just got to get buy-in for that. But we could have one
room. And then in terms of your mental state, I guess, mentally, what are you going to be able to do? I mean, are you going to be able to block out the pile beyond the door?
Well, I think it'll just give me a peaceful place to retreat to when I'm feeling really overwhelmed. So
okay. I like that.
Yeah, just to say, okay, so I need a minute. Mommy needs a timeout. Let me go to my quiet place.
And, go to my quiet place and close the door.
Yeah. And
good.
So maybe I'll start eating there. I don't know.
Like, Mom won't come out of her room.
Exactly. I'll take up residence, but yeah. Okay. I'm sorry, guys. I got to jump. I got to go to another call. So thanks, everyone.
Right,
have a good weekend.
Bye. Bye, Leah. Bye. All right, Stan, you're up.
Number one, to disengage if I'm feeling really angry instead of escalating it further and just, like, letting things simmer down quite a bit before reengaging. And then the other thing is to teach Martin how to do more things around the house so that it's not just always Sophie and me doing everything while he sits there entertaining himself. That's just like...
Okay, so that's a big step. That's a big step. Let's start with the baby step.
That's
what's
a big
something
one.
Small?
Well,
yeah.
I mean, the walking away if I'm feeling really enraged is a doable one. And
what are you going to do to remind yourself when you're feeling enraged?
It won't be hard. I'll know.
You'll know. Okay.
Yeah.
Is there some way you'll need to communicate that?
But Martin,
Martin
does things also to try to trigger us getting irritated at us. And like a lot of ADHD kids, it kind of gives them a charge to see their parents get all worked up about something.
It does, yeah.
So to not let myself be provoked, but also to really keep things in check and remind myself, okay, he has ADHD, his maturity level is not his physical age. Just like back off, give him space, give myself space.
Mhm. And he'll keep trying. I mean, I know you know that already. He'll keep trying to find the way to push the button.
Sure.
But eventually he'll give up. Yeah, because he can't engage with someone who won't engage with you. So, good.
I mean, I'll engage with him on a lot of things, but just those last few things that I mentioned, it just is too much, and I recognize that. But I'd also like to select something that he can do around the house in addition to the few things he does now, and Sophie and I can talk about that and figure out what that would be.
Yeah, and maybe ask him, too, if there's something that he would like to take responsibility for. Maybe give him a few choices of things that you think would be developmentally appropriate and helpful for you guys as well. And let him choose. Yeah.
Yes.
And then, like you said earlier, I think the important thing is making sure he has the skills to do whatever it is. I know we're guilty a lot of times of thinking that our kids just inherently know how to do certain things, and they may not know. You know, if I asked one of my kids to clean out the refrigerator once, and she didn't know how that she's supposed to take everything out and wipe it down. I mean, you know, just basic stuff that you think your kids should know because it's basic stuff. But if they've never had it explained to them, they may not know. So, yeah, you know all that.
It's just slicing and toasting his own bread instead of having us do it. Simple things like that.
Yeah. And I will say, though, that sometimes teenagers they like to be babied sometimes, and then it becomes a choice. Mm-hmm. You know, he knows he can toast and butter his own bread, I bet. But sometimes it's nice to have your mom or dad do it for you. And then it's...
So he insisted he can do it.
Yeah.
It's just developing his will in order to just take a shower without making a huge scene about it.
Yeah. Well, There are always things that we can work on. It's just a matter of starting somewhere, starting small, and being willing to take a step back when we need to, and being willing to step back in when we need to. And like I said, there are some times, I think, where they just like to still be the kid and have us be the parent. And it's up to you if you're willing to engage it at that moment or not. Sometimes it's about saying, I know you can do this yourself, but I'll do it for you this time because I like being your dad or whatever. But again, that's up to you if you want to give that or not.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, it is
six after. Yeah.
Okay, good. Well, have a great weekend, you guys. Enjoy the 3-day weekend if you have it. Great talking to you as always, and I look forward to talking to you guys in a couple weeks.
Thank you.
Take care.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.